You would look in your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews to chapter 11. Hebrews, and in chapter 11, I'd like for us to read verses 1 through verse 7. Hebrews in chapter 11, I begin in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. We'll end our reading there. Hebrews chapter 11, very special chapter in the book of Hebrews, even in the Word of God. It will, I suppose, forever be known as the faith chapter of the Bible. In Hebrews 11, we have what is called in chapter 12 and in verse 1, a great cloud of witnesses. Great cloud of witnesses. And they are there for many reasons in chapter 11, but certainly they ought to be an encouragement unto us as we go back and look at those who so courageously stood for God and by faith did many wonderful things in the work of God. You'll notice in Hebrews in chapter 11, and I'll point you to verse 5 and verse 6, and we notice, first of all, that the first one mentioned in this chapter is Abel. Not Adam, but Abel. I've mentioned this to you before, and I'll mention it again. I know of no reason, according to the Scripture, to believe that Adam was a man of faith. But certainly his son Abel was. And our message this morning is going to concern Noah in verse 7. And if you'll notice, there is Abel, then Enoch, and then Noah. These three began this faith chapter of the Bible. After Enoch, that's mentioned, rather, let me back up here a minute. After Enoch in verse 5, and then before Noah in verse 7, you have verse 6. I think that arrangement is important to notice. Verse 6 again, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's very evident from the Word of God that Abel, Enoch, and Noah, along with all of those mentioned in chapter 11, were people of faith, people of real, true, God-given faith. But again, our attention is on Noah. Noah. And I want us to look this morning, and we'll be using verse 7, but look at Noah's faith, Noah's fear, and Noah's obedience. Those three things are especially important, I believe. As far as I know in the scripture, only two are said to have walked with God. You have two of these, rather these two, one in verse 5, Enoch, and Noah is the other one. Hold your place here if you would. Go with me to the book of Genesis. We'll be referring back here a few times in our message. In Genesis and in chapter 5, and in verse 22, Genesis 5 and in verse 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God." Stated again in verse 24, Enoch walked with God. Now look in chapter 6, if you would, verse 9, in the latter part of that verse, the scripture says, "And Noah walked with God." Noah walked with God. Noah is the great-grandson of Enoch. Noah's grandfather was Methuselah. We're told in the book of Jude in verse 14 that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. That would make Noah the tenth in generations from Adam. It's amazing, just in 10 generations, how sinful this world had become. In the days of Noah, we know that sin entered into the world through Adam's transgression, but just think of the spread of it, and think of how corrupt the world had become in the days of Noah. And it's a miracle of God's grace that you read in verse 9 of Genesis 6, in the middle of all of this corruption and sin, you have a man who is called a just man, perfect in his generation, one that walked with God. In chapter 6 and in verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But you and I would not be alive today without this "but" in verse 8. But the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And again, in verse 9, you have this just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. But in the midst of this and all around him, in verse 12, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Let me just stop here even before I begin and ask you this question. Was Noah spared from the flood because he built an ark? Or was he spared from the flood because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, the answer is both. The answer is surely both. The only reason that Noah was told to build an ark to the saving of his house was because of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God. And here's what I would like for us to see this morning. That behind everything that Noah did in building that ark was the grace of God. That behind it all was the grace of our God. Let's go back to our reading in Hebrews in chapter 11 and in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. There is a progression here that every saint ought to observe and notice. First of all, there is the grace of God. It was the grace of God that produced the faith in Noah. Faith is a gift of God. It is a grace of God. Not one of Adam's race deserves to be given that wonderful gift of faith. So the first in the progression is the grace of God. Secondly, it is his faith. And it was his faith that produced the fear. It's his faith that produced the fear that is mentioned in our text. And it was the fear that produced Noah's obedience in building the ark. And those things must be lined up just as I mentioned them. It was the grace of God that caused and enabled Noah to do all that he did. And you and I ought to always keep in our minds every good work that we do as the people of God is produced by the grace of God. It's even allowed us. Now, I mentioned that from time to time. I thank God that he allows us to serve him and to worship him. It's a grace. It's a grace. It's a grace of God. Our text in Hebrews 11, notice these words, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. We read earlier that Noah was a just man and that he walked with God. You remember, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And we're told repeatedly in the scripture that the just shall live by faith. Before Noah built that ark, he was already a man of faith. He walked by faith. He walked with God. He walked with God. And we're told in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Notice the faith of Noah, and again I'm going back to Genesis. The faith of Noah. Genesis, and in chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, that's a wonderful thing that God speaks to this man. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. room shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. And God gave him the dimension and the specifications for building the ark. Notice verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Basically, just reading these verses here in Genesis 6, Noah believed two things. Two things. He believed the threatenings of God, and he also believed the promises of God. Those two things here. And I'll say again, as I've said before, this kind of faith is a gift of God. It is the gift of God's elect. You will never believe the promises of God if you do not have the faith to believe the threatenings of God. Just impossible. You have to believe both. If you do not believe that God will punish sin, you will not believe, and you cannot believe that God will pardon sin. You cannot pick and choose. If you do not believe that God will cast all unbelievers into hell, how can you believe that God will bring every believer unto glory? Noah believed what God said. God said, and it was his threatenings. He said, I'm going to bring a flood and destroy all flesh except you and your family. You build an ark. You build an ark. And you'll notice in our reading, God said in Genesis 6 and in verse 18, thou shalt come into the ark. You will. You will. You and all of your family will come into the ark. And again, the faith which believes all of the word of God is that God-given faith. You do not build an ark to escape a flood if you do not believe that a flood is coming. I mean, he had to believe what God said. A flood is coming. In our text in Hebrews, I'm going back there, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. God had said to Noah in Genesis 6:14, make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. Well, we're told in Hebrews 11 and in verse 7, that Noah prepared an ark. Noah prepared an ark. He believed God. Because of his faith, and again, this is God-given faith. Noah had faith to believe what was so unlikely from human standpoint, and using human logic. Noah believed what was, according to human reasoning, was impossible. A flood is coming that's going to destroy every living thing. Noah had faith to believe that. And keep in mind, it had never even rained on the earth before. Not one drop of rain had ever fallen from the sky. As far as we know, where Noah built that ark, there was not even a river. There was no water. And God tells Noah, build this massive structure called an ark. Build it on dry ground, because I'm going to send the flood. Now, it takes a lot of faith to build this massive structure on dry land when it's never even rained, never has been a flood before. This is the first mention of a flood. And God said, Noah, build an ark. Our text says, by faith, notice, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God said, it's going to rain. I'm going to open the windows of heaven. Never had been seen before. I'm going to cause the fountains of the deep to erupt and come forth. Never had been seen or done before. But Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and he moved with fear and prepared an ark. Moved with fear and prepared an ark. This fear is what every one of us who are true believers have. And we all probably need more of it. More of it. It is a godly reverential fear. It's not a being afraid of someone in the normal sense of the word. It is fearing God. Reverence for God. Look in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter and in chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 17. The Bible says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, but it says, fear God. Fear God. Same book, chapter 1, verse 17. For if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Godly reverence from God. One more place I'll read is in Romans, in chapter 11. Romans, and in chapter 11. If you would notice the last words of verse 20, where we're told, be not high-minded, but fear. But fear. It has been said, and I agree, that we ought to fear God because of his greatness and of his holiness. We ought to fear ourselves because of our depravity and sinfulness. Fear God. And it was this godly fear that motivated Noah to build an ark. Read our text again, Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. Notice the fear was the motivating factor. Now behind that was his faith. Behind that faith is the grace of God, but what moved him was fear. This fear. He moved with fear and prepared an ark. Now I said I want us to see his faith, his fear, but also his obedience. God told Noah, make thee an ark. Well, Noah built an ark. But it's very important that we notice how Noah built that ark. How he built that ark. Noah, in his obedience unto God, did not deviate from God's plan for that ark. Look back to Genesis again, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. How every one of us ought to desire that this could be said of us, what was said of Noah. Genesis 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Well, look at chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Look at verse 9. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. We're told repeatedly Noah did all exactly what God said. He not only did all that God had commanded, he did it exactly as God had commanded. God said, make you an ark of gopher wood. Only time that type of wood's mentioned in the Bible. Noah did not say, well, there's another stand of wood timber over here that's closer, it's a little bit handier. I'll just use that, Lord. No, he did all that God had commanded. He didn't decide on another type of wood. He didn't alter the shape or the size of the ark. He did all that God commanded. God said, I want you to build this large, massive structure, but I want only one window and one door. Noah didn't say, no, Lord, that's not enough. He put in one window, one door. He did not rely upon his own understanding. God said, I want you to make it three stories tall. Noah, in his human reasoning, might have said, now, Lord, that's a lot of animals that's got to come in here. We might need four stories. No, his obedience. He did not deviate. He did all that God had commanded him. There's so many today who are deceived, and they're really deceived, I think, into thinking that they are faithful unto God, that they are obedient unto God, that they're even serving and worshiping God, but at the same time think they have the right and the prerogative to change how God said to do things. That's not obedience at all. Not obedience at all. The faith, the fear, the obedience of Noah is a great example for all of us. If you're in Genesis chapter 7, and we've just mentioned a few things, rather Genesis 6. I've only mentioned a few things in chapter 6. But it's no coincidence, neither is it by chance, that we have the last word of chapter 6. It's in verse 22, and then what is said in chapter 7 and in verse 1. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. This generation. Our text says, Noah, moved with fear, built an ark. Built an ark. And when you look at in Genesis in chapter 6, and God said in verse 15, this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. This is the fashion. This is the plan. This is how it's going to be. Noah did not deviate at all. I'll mention this in closing. In Kentucky, there is that supposed replica of the ark. You know, someone's always trying to make merchandise of the things of God. I hadn't been to that thing, have no idea, no plan to go to it, no desire. But the pictures I've seen look nothing like the description here in the book of Genesis. I mean, that thing is polished, shined, it's been planed and sanded. It's pretty, isn't it? But it's not like this. Do you notice the pictures of that thing, how it's got a bow in the front like a ship? You don't find that here. This ark that Noah was told to build, it was not built with a rudder, and it was not built to be a ship. It was not built to be navigated by any but God. It was designed more like a three-story barge. I mean, it's just a complete rectangle. This is the ark that Noah built. And again, if you look at this and read what men's concept of it is, it's far different. I don't believe Noah sanded, polished, waxed the wood. I believe it was a pretty rough structure. Pitched within and without, with tar and with pitch. But it was the design of God. And by it and through it, God brought the human race. At the end of the flood, on the mountain of Ararat, was the entirety of the human race. It was there. Noah and those with him in the ark, that was the human race at that time. And keep this in mind. God had promised in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman was going to come. Well, that seed of the woman had not yet arrived. Now, God's either going to preserve a seed in that ark, or he's going to make himself a liar if he wipes out the human race. Many reasons Noah was spared. That lineage has to be preserved. Has to be preserved. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, must come. In some way, in some fashion, even he was preserved in that ark. Brother Royce, you come lead us. Let's stand together.